With K-State Research and Extension's Wildcat District, this is Jesse Gilmore bringing you this week's edition of the Hort Report. When trying to control damage on your garden plants, you don't always need to spray chemicals. Sometimes following integrated pest management principles will get you the results you want. IPM is a collection of different strategies that aims to reduce chemical impact on the environment by finding alternative ways to prevent pests from getting to your garden plants. Biological controls encourage populations of pests' natural enemies, which could be predators, parasites, or disease. BT corn is one example of a biological control. The corn plant contains bacteria that kills any insects that ingest it. This will control pests while leaving beneficial insects that do not feed on the corn unharmed. Cultural controls include practices that reduce pest establishment, reproduction, dispersal, and survival. Exclusion, or keeping the pest from getting to your garden in the first place, is the most common method of cultural control. However, sometimes you need to analyze your own growing methods. For example, overwatering your garden can lead to more weeds and could also encourage fungal diseases. Selecting the right plants and varieties will help minimize pest impact, especially when it comes to disease resistance. Mechanical control kills a pest directly using tools, physically prevents a pest from getting to your garden, or makes the environment unsuitable for it. Note that IPM does not automatically exclude the use of chemicals just because they are chemicals, but rather views them as one of many tools in the toolbox. By combining chemical control with other control options, you can minimize potential harm to non-targets while still getting the pest control you want. There are five components of IPM programs that will determine if protecting your plants will be successful. The first is to properly identify the disease or insect. Some insects may look like they will be pests, but are instead beneficial. Misidentification of the problem can also cause your control strategies to be ineffective, which wastes money and time and can have negative ecological impacts. The second step is to assess the number of pests and their damage. This also requires asking how much impact you can tolerate. Some people have pest-free yards, while others can tolerate weeds being present, but not bugs. Understanding the damage threshold pests have to reach before control is necessary will keep you from over-applying chemicals. The third step is to know the guidelines for when management is needed. This will depend on what plants you're trying to defend, as different plants can tolerate different levels of abuse. The Extension Office will have agents who are familiar with pests in our area and how they impact different plants. The fourth step is to use a combination of different strategies mentioned previously, which, as a reminder, can include chemical control. The last step after putting a pest control strategy into practice is to assess that strategy's effectiveness. That way, if you encounter the pest again in the future, you can use the same control methods or make adjustments to make your control plans even more effective. For more information on today's topic, contact your local Extension office. I can be reached at 620-724-8233 or by email at jr637@ksu.edu. Once again, this has been Jesse Gilmore bringing you this week's Hort Report.